knowledge, passion, and a keen respect for the game, all of which have fueled what you're going to hear next. Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690.
Drops it back to Kreider, behind the Carolina net. Comes out from behind the net, shoots, he scores! Chris Kreider makes it 2-0 Rangers. Final seconds ticking off. They're on their feet at the Garden, waving the towels, cheering the Rangers. The Rangers win it, 3-1.
No, I wasn't happy with the, the bull at the end of the game that they initiated, We didn't do that when the games were close. We put, they put their guys on. That's fine. If they want to play like that, we got the guys that can match that. I don't like it at the end of the game. The game's over. We still got four games to go with those guys. I mean, they're not sending any message. We got the guy that can handle all their guys if we want to. And we didn't do it like that. But Domi took a cheap shot of their defenseman, and You got a long memory in this. You think about things, and like I said, might be on the other foot someday.
Welcome back to the Drive Show on TSN 690. My name's Mitch Gelo, filling in for Melnick all week. I'm with John Still and Jimmy G. It's just after 5:05, so it's time for
Aaron Ward, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.
Good afternoon, Aaron.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm actually good. As Jimmy G called me, I was direct messaging with Amy Walsh, one of your contributors. She was asking me to recount my weekend because I took the dive into attempting yoga for the first time.
Oh, really? How'd that go?
Comical. I imagine if we set up cameras, we would have laughed. I would have laughed at myself. But honestly, it was an absolute blast. I had so much fun. I was kind of nervous about stepping into a realm that I didn't know anything about. Amy kind of encouraged me to do it, and I did it, and I'm hooked. So that was good. It was good times. But oh my God, is it embarrassing? Some of the things I can't even sit back on my heels. People are sitting down, contorting. I'm sitting there. I'm like, my knees don't even bend that far. So it was humbling, but it was fun. Blast.
Wait, I have to know because there was a time in my early 20s where, again, I had never done yoga and I dated a girl who was like a crazy yoga person. So I tried it. Was it hot yoga or regular yoga? Because hot yoga, you got no shoes on, so you're slipping and sliding everywhere. That I did not like. Regular yoga, I absolutely did enjoy.
Okay, so it was regular yoga, but caveat here. 90-degree weather at 11 o'clock in the morning. I went to an outdoor bar called the Dogwood Tavern. You can actually technically bring your dogs there while you're doing yoga. We set up, and it was like there was a covered area, but I was towards the back. So even though it was in the shade, it was hot. So I did experience a little bit of the slipping. But overall, it was everything you would expect. I've made a determination that if you're going to go down the road of trying to be healthy in your next few years, you got to expand your horizon. So I decided that everybody I see who does yoga is incredibly fit and they're very calm. And we all know from my personality, I could afford to insert some calmness in there, but here's the bigger one. Once you got done yoga and they gave you a cold lavender towel, as you cooled down, there were mimosas at the end.
Ooh.
They incorporated drinking and yoga. And of course, if you give me a mimosa, I'm of course going to find a bourbon. So then I had a bourbon, then I had a beer. So basically I defeated the purpose of going to yoga, but it was really fun anyway.
So you undid all your work.
All of it. Dude, I was lit on a Saturday by 12:30.
And you got to go back and sweat it out again after. So now they've got you in a vicious cycle. Now I understand. It's all a scam. They get you wasted afterwards, and then you're like, oh man, I got to come and sweat it out again, and then it never ends.
Brought my buddy with me, who's 6'3", played baseball from Iowa. He plays on my softball team. He's a vice principal. He's probably 225, 230. So we were having good laughs at our own expense. It was very humbling, but yeah, we had a blast. But we are hooked. We already signed up for next week's classes. So I was explaining to Amy what my bougie yoga looked like. and she's both jealous and hates me. And, of course, there's the one guy in the class who halfway through outdoors whips his shirt off, and we were like, you know what? Good for you. If you look that good.
A lot of women wearing Lululemons?
It was actually half and half. It was held at a bar. It was a pretty good concept. Honestly, if someone's out there listening, I'd jump on it. It was well attended. It was fun. So,
favorite pose?
Lying on my back flat with a lavender towel on my head during cool down.
I thought you were going
to
go.
Favorite pose, well, cool thinking. Down.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go like warrior's pose or something, downward dog. I don't know.
No, there's a thing called the eagle pose. And I thought to myself, yeah, I was on skates, a little metal blade. I'm going to try and do this. Dude, I look like a kangaroo. I spent the entire time hopping, trying to not fall on my ass. And like you said, like it was hot outside. So I kind of was slipping on the mat. But again, I take it with a grain of salt. It was my first time, but it was fun. So, I'll do it. Listen, well, just for you know what, and giggles, maybe I will set up a camera and we can put a reel together on Instagram of Aaron's greatest yoga failures. I imagine that would go over well.
In fairness to you, Aaron, I think that anyone who tries yoga for the first time, they have a compilation reel that would make anybody laugh.
Well, I want Aaron's on Instagram, like you said, because that thing's going viral for sure. Aaron, let's go. Let's get to the ice where Gerard Gallant maybe needs to do some yoga or some Zen meditation or something. He was pretty fired up considering his team won 3-1. What did you make of everything we saw in that Rangers 3-1 win over the Hurricanes yesterday afternoon?
I think the game was dominant. I think we were talking about the fact that the two periods that they played here in Carolina, they stifled Carolina, and Carolina couldn't solve them. So it took inevitably some time and home cooking. You got your opportunity, you scored. Madison Square Garden, I mean, New York played a pretty solid, consistent, disciplined game. And Carolina didn't get much of anything. Here's my displeasure. Like, honestly, like, let the players do what's going on. Like, what Gallant did at the podium, I equate to the thirsty guy at the bar. What I mean by the thirsty guy at the bar is a guy that's going to try and gain any attention from all the girls at the bar. So what does he do before he goes to the bar? You know, in his car, he's got two sets of dumbbells. He's doing arm curls. He's got a size medium shirt on. And when he walks in there, he's got a nice pump on, and he's walking in like his lats are the size of Texas. Everybody's just kind of like, whatever. And that's what I take from Gallant. Like, you made a story where there isn't one. If you're saying that Carolina sent out the guys that were going to send a message, can any of you guys name me the guys on Carolina that are going to send a message? Who would they be?
Oh, we went over this already, I think, last series for the Hurricanes when we were talking about the Bruins and how the Bruins still have some of those guys. I mean, in that instance, Aaron, he's complaining about Max Domi. You know, and it's not like Max Domi is the biggest tough guy in the world. It's not a heavyweight.
And D'Angelo. And here's the thing. D'Angelo, you already know, you just play for your team. But D'Angelo will engage you in a fight, but is he out there cheap-shotting? No.
Yeah, so, but you could tell, Aaron, they don't like him.
But who cares?
Yeah.
And I like his attitude. If you see all the interviews that D'Angelo does between periods, he's very matter-of-fact. He could care less. Listen, like him or not, and I don't clearly share the same worldly views as he does, I do respect the fact that the guy doesn't really give a flying anything about what you think about him or how he plays the game. He's going to go out, he's going to compete, he's going to play with the 19, 20 guys that he's got in that locker room, and he's going to try and win along with them, and he's going to try and set a owner an example. And his very workmanlike attitude, I can go with that. If I had a teammate like that where I didn't necessarily agree with his off-ice views, but in the locker room, he was doing everything he could to possibly get us over the top. I'm good with that. But to say that Carolina is sending out at the end of the game their fourth line of Domi, who is even on the fourth line for Carolina? I can't even tell you. Like, it's that bad. You're thirsty. You're just trying to make a story there that doesn't exist. Do you really need to, after you just won a game as decisively as you have, try and create, like, you know, controversy? Rod Brindamore's response at his press conference, he started laughing. He's like, do we have those guys? I mean, Brendan Smith, probably, likely the first guy. Jordan Staal might be able to handle himself, but beyond that, You don't have guys that are, you know, going out looking for it. Like, come on, just play the game.
I kind of enjoy him telling. Well, okay, what do you make of Gallant actually saying on the ice, shut the bleep up to D'Angelo, considering that, again, I think that that's one of those unwritten rules, coaches
oh,
and players.
I hate
you're
when,
not supposed
I hate,
to do that.
John, I hate
a
when
lot
coaches
of people hate it. Yes.
Do that. Yeah, it's the worst.
I hate it. Because here's the thing. So what happens if I'm a player and I'm in game six and I've got a decisive lead, I get the puck, and I'm going to admit, I've done this to a coach. I had a coach yell at me, and I got the puck at the far end, and I fired the puck right at his head from across the ice. I shot it into their bench. And I purposely tried to get him. And it was actually a former coach of mine that I absolutely hated, and he was putting us. So if you're a coach, be a coach. I respect the guys that stand behind the bench. You don't have to be stoic, but you sure as hell don't engage the players because they're the ones competing on the ice. You're the game manager. You're the leader of this team. The moment you start swearing at a player, one, you've now inserted yourself into the game, so you've become devil or public enemy number one for the other team. Let that fall on the guys that have the skates on. And two, it's just a distraction for your team. Like, if I had a coach who was sitting there, and over my shoulder, I look over, and I'm having to answer for, and I'm whatever he has to say. If I have to answer for something idiotic a coach says, and he infuriates the other team, dude, leave it to the players to play the game. Let them play the psychological game. You standing there on national TV making a mockery of yourself, pointing. Listen, and Gallant, listen, I respect him. A former Detroit Red Wing, I've met him multiple times. Loved the way he played. I just don't completely agree with, is that the best thing for your team? You have Ryan Reeves there. You got enough guys that I think that can probably handle themselves. Like Jacob Trouba, take a guy's head off with hits. He's just a quality hitter. Like, there's enough things that can have an impact on the game that'll come from the players that, as a coach, just stay on your side of the line and let it be handled elsewhere.
Do you want to tell us who that coach was? Sorry, your AirPods or whatever they're called that you cut out. Who'd you say it was?
Barry Smith. Scotty's assistant coach. He's like little lapdog.
Okay. I thought the assistant coach was supposed
to
be good cop.
He's a rat, a rodent. He was like, so it was funny because.
Did you get him?
No, but I was about a foot away. I mean, you guys have seen me score or shoot. Not often. Not very often at all. So likelihood that I'm going to hit anything, the blind side of a bar, and I'm lucky. So it was more a message than anything. Here's the thing. Yep. He said some things off the ice, and then he said something on the ice. And once you check both boxes for me, I did it in a game. So I wasn't even in the playoffs. I was playing for Boston after I got traded there. I wasn't in Boston. It was Carolina. I got traded to Carolina. I think it was 2002. And we were hot garbage. It was earlier. We were hot garbage. And it was the year I got traded. And I fired one up at Barry in Joe Louis Arena. And he knew and I knew why I did it.
Well, I'm just going to say that.
You know what, today? I got one for you. And as of 2 weeks ago, here we go. We're airing our dirty laundry.
Oh,
I heard he chirped me 2 weeks ago. I've been retired 12 years. Still chirping.
Really?
They're having a reunion for the Red Wings and the Stanley Cup.
What did he say to you?
And I didn't say it to me. You didn't say it to me. It just made its way back to me.
Okay, I see.
Ah, the worst.
Yeah.
I'd rather you just say it to me. Then.
Talking behind your back.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Come on. Aaron.
Hey, listen. His eye level is about my belly button, so it'd be tough.
Oh, there you go. Also, I think Anthony D'Angelo's got a little bit more accuracy. Maybe can actually get one at Gerard Gallant. Maybe if he decides to go the Aaron Ward route. Aaron, how surprised were you by the very much, I don't want to say lack of pushback, but I expected a much better effort from the Florida Panthers yesterday, and now they are in quite a hole on the second night of a back-to-back at Amalie Arena against the Lightning.
Well, so the last time we discussed this, I think it was Friday, I had hope that this series would be something, right? So I thought Florida would get out of Florida, the comfort zone, get to Tampa. The troops would rally. They'd be in a hotel together. They'd probably have a meeting by now. They'd sound the alarm, and they'd come out with a level of urgency. I think the scariest part is that Andrew Brunette, in his press conference, basically called out his team for lack of investment, and that they're overwhelmed by a Tampa team, and there's not a lot of fight back. Honestly, I'd be worried about my position next year if my coach in the middle of the playoffs is talking about what we lacked, and we lacked a level of investment. That's not something you normally hear. So I don't know if the credit goes to Tampa, who, with the Wiley vets and the absence of Braden Point, still managed to get things done. And it's all the same guys, right? You think about Hedman, you know, cross-ice passes to Stamkos, bearing it on one-timers. Kucherov is being Kucherov. And I think it got brought up also Friday, almost as though Point out of the lineup was a signal or a catalyst for Kucherov deciding to take it over. Much like McDavid's taken over, I think you're seeing Kucherov emerge as the postseason dominant, dictating type player that we expected that hadn't been there, and now he's just realizing that they're progressing along, and he's the onus is on him to take over. So I don't know how much of the credit goes to Tampa or the discredit goes to Florida at this stage.
All right, so a couple more things I want to get to before we wrap things up. Both of these things in the Western Conference series.
Johnson, a pass to Lehkonen. Lehkonen moving in. Binnington fought that off. And then Binnington was hit hard as Kadri was driving to the net. The net also off, and we'll have to see if Binnington is okay.
I'll tell you, he's rattled on that hit. That was a heavy collision with Kadri driving to that net. That rebound was there for the taking, but Binnington rolled over and is just now starting to get up after that collision. Obviously some concern for the players all around their goaltender here. But a hard shot by Lehkonen, and he's shaking something up. He doesn't want to get up right away. He's kind of stretching. So definitely shaking up on that one. I did not see a hand up on the play, Singer, so there was no penalty that was being called.
I'm sure you're going to get asked about this maybe once or twice over the next few days, so just take us through the collision with Jordan Binnington from your point of view. What happened on that play?
Just a loose puck. I just tried to get my stick in there, and just tried to poke the puck free. I think their weak side defenseman came over and kind of bumped me, and that's what caused the collision. So, you know, hope he's all right. I'm not sure if he just threw a water bottle at me or not, but.
Wow.
The poise. Yeah.
I mean, not much I can do, man. Not much I can do. I'm just going for the loose puck.
So, Aaron, Nazem Kadri accidentally injures Jordan Binnington. Binnington's done for the series. And then while Kadri is talking to the TNT broadcast, Binnington throws a water bottle at him.
Watching it live, and I had an inkling something along those lines happened because there was a lack of flow. What first on the play? If it's anybody else than Kadri, based on the fact that one of the themes as we came into the playoffs was as good as Kadri has been over the course of this season, and almost at this point is playing himself out of Colorado because his dollar command will be way too high. We were questioning, can he be not the guy that we expect? In years past, the composure has been his greatest downfall. So we've had a really good player to this stage. I think only because it's Nazem Kadri I'm not eviscerating him. Is there anybody eviscerating Nazem Kadri rather than basically in a sorrowful state eulogizing Binnington because of the fact that Binnington, and notice how I emphasize the N's, not the L for Melnick.
Yeah, thank you for that.
He's recaptured his former form in the playoffs. So, listen, it's unfortunate for St. Louis. I mean, it's going to be a great series with that guy in there. He's a clear competitor. I think that just it's being kind of blown up by some members of the media or some markets because of the fact it's the player it is. The throwing the water bottle, I think it's comical. Because if you think about Are you shocked? Like, were you shocked when you found out, in light of the animated level that Binnington is, you know, anybody even, like, breathes heavy on him, anywhere in the blue paint, you know, that stick's flying and the punches are going. And listen, I appreciate a goalie as a competitor. But the funniest part was, like, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that somehow he's walking by a room and he might hear Kadri's voice. And the first thing is, I'm going to get him. But I can't really get him on live TV, so I'm going to do something. And clearly, Kadri tried to keep it on the rails during the interview, couldn't. But good for him for calling it out.
Have you had an experience like that where there was a confrontation after a game between players in like the parking garage area, the locker room area, anything like that?
Good question. I would say no.
Because I want to know, like, Aaron, I've been to, like, a lot of these rinks. I want to know what Binnington was even doing on the other side.
So it's in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, I haven't been to that rink, so I don't know.
They're technically on the same side. So they're kitty corner. So when you come off, when St. Louis comes off to the defending side of their bench, and they walk down a hallway, and the entrance to their locker room is you have to step across the hallway. When you're on the visitor's bench, you come off the defending end, and it's technically the locker room is under the stands. So when you walk out and you head to the bus, either pass by St. Louis's locker room or not, but inevitably the St. Louis players, to get to their cars or to the loading zone, have to go to the same area where the buses are. So it all depends on where TNT was set up in that building. The closest I've ever come, sometimes when you have to step outside the locker room and do an interview, I don't even remember where it would have been, but I remember, I don't know the player, but I remember the circumstance of, I was doing an interview, I was in my suit, and we had had really tough game with the opponent, and the exact guys that they were asking the question about in the moment, and what happened on the ice, were walking by, so here I am standing there having to talk about them within earshot. So I was a little gun shy on actually, like, using the names during the interview. I was going to try and park it, but that's the closest I've come. I've never heard of any off ice altercations, at all.
Who are the two guys? You remember?
Oh, I don't. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I don't remember the situation. I remember doing the interview and getting that pit in my stomach. Like, oh, I could get suckered on live on tape TV.
All right, last one is the collision between Milan Lucic and Mike Smith. Here's Daryl Sutter after the game.
I would, they called it charging, correct? Could you imagine if Lucic did charge? What would have happened there? He actually tried to slow it down a little bit, I think. Well, it is what it is. You know what? It's the score and who it was. That's what they call, so.
Aaron, Mike Smith is the biggest flopper among goalies in the league.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the other thing. Lucic came out and released a statement today saying if I charged him, he and I wouldn't be playing tonight.
That's right, yeah.
So truth be told, like, what he did was he went in. Was it the best of decisions to stop up behind Mike Smith? As Mike Smith is clearly, like, Mike Smith is using his body to shield the puck. So there's no way that Lucic is going to take the puck off of his stick. So the contact, I wouldn't say it's inevitable, but it's tough to avoid. The crazy part about it is the fact that, yeah, that he got a five. I think what that is referees looking at the situation, the score, and the potential volatility of this blowout game and deciding, let's save ourselves some problems and game manage this and get him out or get him off for whatever period of time. Because players, without getting a full view locker room, what happened, only know X takes out goalie, character Y looks bad, I'm going to have to react, otherwise we're going to be questioned on our willingness to engage or our investment to stand up for our teammates, where I think if they would have had time to look at it, they would realize, oh, that was a pretty soft call and we got the benefit of that call.
So what do you got tonight? No yoga, I presume, since your appointment's for next week. You softball, what's going on?
I'm doing nothing. My dog went and got his manhood taken away today, so he's sleeping right beside me right now, and he won't even look at me. So we're just saving the neighborhood from any unwanted puppies.
All right. Well, enjoy all the games tonight then on your couch, and we'll chat tomorrow.
All right, looking forward to it, guys.
There is a three-time Cup champ Aaron Ward during the drive show here on TSN 690. Gallo and Still with you. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball. Josh Donaldson has been suspended for one game for calling Tim Anderson Jackie. We'll tell you about that next.
Aaron Ward, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.